This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Molloy.
You bet it is, and it's a Tuesday, and we're back on board. And again, Molloy out, O'Neill back in.
Yay.
Dave O'Neill, how are you?
I'm good. I took Mick a meal around last night. Meals on wheels, he gets it regularly. Put a bit of rat poisoning in there, so he's still not well.
Well, that's good news. No, is it Ebola? That's what we think it might be.
What is it?
I don't know. He's sick as a dog. I've spoken to him.
Again?
He's gone the blub on the phone almost.
Mickey.
Not quite. His mum's looking after
him.
Of course. So Wendy's been there for quite a while.
Poor Wendy.
Dave.
You think parenting would stop when they're over 50?
It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop there. Dave, how are you?
Hey, Jane. Dave, great to see you again, my friend.
Good on you, Dave. We're part of the Dave Club.
And we're all back. We've got a big show coming up for you today. We're looking at dream jobs.
Actually, we're looking at, because
Nutella are looking for taste testers.
Oh, yeah, I've heard.
But you have an uncanny knowledge about junk food.
An expert. Historian, perhaps.
Exactly. And that's why you fit in so well sitting in Mick's chair. We're going to talk to Damien Tomlinson as well. He was the evictee from Survivor last night. It sent shockwaves around the country.
Big double amputee guy.
Yes, he is. Former SAS.
He's a hero, though.
He's a hero. And they've dumped him. I've got shocking audio of the moment that the girls turned against him. And it was horrifying. We're also blessed to have the Prime Minister coming in.
Prime Minister, and then
Lawrence Mooney's going to pop in as well, which is great.
Intriguing.
Do you embarrass your kids, Dave?
Oh man, all the time.
I do it all the time. We want to find out whether you embarrass your kids.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, we've got a few stories going around like that.
Every time my son says, "You know, Luke," I always go, "Does he live on the second floor?" If there's been some kind of trouble, some kind of fight,
I'm with you.
You know what I'm talking
with
about.
We're with you.
Yeah. She just sued.
Yeah. We'll take your tweets. Your texts. Yep.
Your fax messages.
And your faxes.
Calix.
Ring on the landline.
Ring on the landline. You've walked in fresh as a daisy. What's going on?
Got a new haircut.
You've had a haircut.
Yeah. When I get a haircut, people notice because I don't get it very often.
Why did you do it? Yesterday you had different hair. Now
very
you've got this
scruffy hair
yeah.
yesterday.
Were you a bit conscious of, you know, were you doing it to impress me?
Sure. No, truth of the matter is because I've got that show coming up on Channel 10.
Yes.
I've got to do a bit of TV stuff soon, so I thought I'd get my hair cut.
So this is the pilot that's coming up for Channel 10 called Dave,
about your life. Yeah, on a Friday night soon. Yeah, it's an awesome show. And anyway, we're going to plug it to Billy.
Now tell me, when you get your hair cut, do you go
to
is it a barber or a hairdresser?
No, it's a hairdresser. And I normally get Ivan to cut it. Ivan's been cutting it for at least 5 years. But Ivan's away, so I had to get John Paul.
Okay.
And so John Paul's
not... Were you nervous?
Yeah, well, John Paul's done it before. And then Ivan always walks in and goes, "I'll fix it up later, mate. Don't worry about it."
Because I just want to know when I asked you that, is it a long relationship you've got? Because you know that women go to a hairdresser for a very long time. I know a lot of guys do too. And you don't want to...
Oh, you feel bad when you walk past.
But you can't change unless you get a really crap haircut.
Yeah, well, that's it. Well, my partner suggested this because he's very good with men's hair. Ivan's very good with men. But he's about my age, so we can talk about music and stuff. And so I got on very well with him. But yeah, my partner's still with the hairdresser that I used to go to.
Oh, really?
So sometimes I go and pick her up. Mm. It's a bit awkward.
Yeah. It's awkward.
And she always says, "David's got a nice haircut."
No, there's some very embarrassing things you've got to stay away from. Hey, we've got a very big show coming up, and we're going to talk after this track about Nutella. It's not for me.
No, I don't like Nutella. I'm more peanut butter man.
Well, there's an incredible job up for grabs. We'll tell you about it.
Right after this.
This is Kennedy Molloy.
I'm not a fan of Nutella, but it's always in our house. It never was. We never had Nutella in our house as a kid.
It was sort of introduced to Australia in the 90s.
Yes, I think it was.
You go up to an Italian kid's house, they'd have
it? They always have Nutella. Dave, are you into
it? No, we were never into it as a kid.
No.
No.
Do you have it in your house now?
Don't have it.
Really?
No.
Okay, so a lot of people I know go nuts for Nutella.
Mm.
There is a job opening. It is in Italy, so you've probably got to get yourself there. But Ferrero...
Incentive.
You know, Ferrero Rocher.
Yeah.
The company that makes Nutella is recruiting sensory judges. And they're going to be paid...
Tasting judges.
Yes, to taste. They're looking to hire 60 taste testers to work part-time in Elba, Italy.
Nice part of the world.
Is Elba a nice part of the world?
I've been North Italy, I think, isn't it?
I don't know if Elba is.
Mm. Industrial. Probably in the industrial
hub. It is a bit. Yeah. Where they'll learn how to taste cocoa, hazelnut, and other semi-finished sweet products. And this is Fair Dinkum. And there's actually, you can apply at elba@openjob.it.
How many applicants are they going to get? They're getting thousands of people.
There's
to do
a reference
job.
Code as well. Do we need to do that?
No, we don't need to do the reference code.
Anyone from that we know is going to get the job. But
some guy's leaving his factory job in Wollongong going, yeah, I might do that.
Yeah.
You never know.
People might go.
Now, I don't like Nutella because I think it's fake. It's like not real.
It's not fake. Let me tell you the history of Nutella.
You know the history of Nutella?
I know the history of Nutella.
Well, that's bizarre.
I know the history of a lot of junk food. Nutella was created, I think it was during the war when they couldn't get cocoa beans to make proper chocolate spread.
Yes.
So the guys, I think two brothers
ran. Were they Italian?
Yeah, there was Nut and there was Teller. That may not be true. And anyway, they used hazelnut. They got hazelnut as a sauce.
Yeah, which is the rank part, I reckon.
Yeah, and that's what they made the spread out of, hazelnut instead of they used to make it out of cocoa.
But is there chocolate in it now in the recipe?
There is a bit of chocolate, but not a lot. It's mainly hazelnut.
Oh. Mm. How do you know a lot about junk food?
Sometimes when I'm bored at night, I just Google like twisties and I end up going down a net wormhole and you just read twisties.
What's the history of twisties?
Oh, twisties are fascinating.
Really? Right?
Twisties in Italy, they're called fonzies.
No kidding.
Oh, the fonzies are great.
Is it the same shape?
We've got
twisties here now.
It's different flavour. They have like a parmesan flavour. Oh, yeah. Right. I know they're good.
How were they?
Twisties in America, they were invented as like cheese twists, they're called, and they were making pet food for rabbits, right? And they would feed corn into this processor, and one of the byproducts was long sticks of corn that they would throw out.
Yeah.
And so one guy, but you could still eat them. So one guy would take them home and put cheese on them and hand them out to neighbours. And then his boss said, we should sell that stuff. And that's how they were invented.
And they're called twisties because the shape was a bit twisted.
Yeah. That's right.
That's crazy. Right.
Mm. And of course, twisties were great, of course, when we were growing up because there was only two flavours.
Oh, yeah.
It was chicken and cheese.
Yeah. No one bought chicken.
Yeah. Oh, no, I love chicken.
I didn't mind chicken.
I don't mind chicken, but I still love cheese the best.
Dave, can we test some of our listeners?
Sure.
You are claiming to know a great knowledge of junk food.
Yeah, you asked me about Fanta,
the history of some junk food.
Yeah. Fillet of fish.
Really?
Dim Sims?
I know about Dim Sims.
All right, give us a call, 1-333-353. Give us a call and test Dave's junk food knowledge.
Oh, God.
Put him to the test. Come on.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Your new way to drive home.
Dave O'Neill is an expert when it comes to junk food.
You bet.
And we're putting Dave to
proud
the test.
Of it.
Yeah, 1-333-353. You want to find the origins of a junk food? I reckon Dave's got the answer for it.
Any junk food at all. Just ask me anything. Who have we got?
We've got Daniel on the line. Daniel, what would you like to know the history of?
Dave, what can you tell me about the old Dim Sim, mate?
Oh. Dim Sims. Okay, Dim Sims. Well, they had a Chinese version of course, Dim Sum, but they wanted something to be a bit more blander for the Australian palate.
Oh, my God.
And so a guy called Frank McEncrow was a boilermaker from Albury Wodonga or something like that, and he made Dim Sims and sold them at the Wagga Wagga Show. And Frank McEncrow is George McEncrow, the comedian's uncle.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Now, the blandness came from it's got a bit more cabbage in it. There's a bit more Chico Rolly inside.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Chico Roll was like a spring roll too. That was, again, very similar invention.
Australian version of
invention.
So there you go, Daniel. Satisfied with
that?
Yeah, no, that's perfect.
Yeah, you love a good dimmy?
Yeah, don't mind it.
Yeah, don't mind it too. Thanks, Daniel.
Actually, maybe I'm getting Chico Rolls and Dim Sims mixed up.
No, I don't.
Okay, we'll keep moving.
Okay. Chris, what would you like to know the history of?
All right. G'day, guys.
G'day.
Hey. What's the history of Fanta?
Fanta's got a great history.
Really?
Fanta was created in Nazi Germany.
What?
Yeah, because the guy in charge of the Coca-Cola factory in Germany couldn't get of course, there were trade embargoes, and he couldn't get stuff to make Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
So he sourced local products, invented Fanta, which was called Fantese in Germany.
And was orange? What is it made of? Orange?
It's made of oranges. Yeah, oranges and lemons and stuff. Yeah. And so it was.
Did they grow oranges in Germany?
Apparently, there's a great photo of the Fanta being at a trade show with all swastikas. But
no kidding. Wow.
So next time you're having your Fanta, Chris.
Yeah. Cheers.
Yeah. No. Yep.
You know who the fang? Don't ask me about Mellow Yellow. I don't know about Mellow Yellow.
Thank you, Chris. Josh, what would you like to ask about?
Yeah, I've got a hard one, but it's probably one of the greatest candy you could have that's gone missing now is a polywaffle.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they're from originally from Melbourne, from the Hoadley's factory.
And for people who don't remember,
it's a marshmallow sort of tube encased in a biscuit and then a chocolate.
Yeah.
And now it's known, unfortunately, for another name as a euphemism for a big log.
We remember Caddyshack, where they sort of a polywaffle was thrown in the pool, the American version of the polywaffle thrown in the pool.
That's right. There you go, Josh. We've got Troy on the line. What would you like to know the history of, Troy?
Hey, do you guys know the history of Birdie Beetle?
No, we don't, but I don't know them, but I think...
Marshy, amazing producer, does...
Come close to the mic.
Yes, Marshy, first of all, how come you know the history of Birdie Beetle?
Because I'm a huge fan. I love a Birdie Beetle in a show bag.
$1 show bag.
And what is the history of Birdie?
Well, Roundtree's, which I think is South Australian originally, also made Violet Crumbles.
Oh, I love a Violet Crumble.
And the offcuts at the end of Violet Crumbles making day, they went, what do we do with all these shavings that have fallen off the conveyor belt?
No kidding.
We'll stick them in the chocolate and make a Birdie Beetle.
Wow. So they're offcuts.
You'll know my student, my PhD. you're the assistant to my PhD.
Okay, Professor.
What about
Mark? Can we go to Mark?
Yeah, let's go to Mark. Mark,
g'day.
what did you want to know?
Hey.
Yeah, we're good. What do you want to know?
Just got a question for you, Dave. Do you know the origin of the name of Toblerone?
I know this because my twin brother Glenn lives in Switzerland. And he always says, you know Toblerone, it's a Swiss chocolate and it's shaped like the Matterhorn.
Is that why it's like that?
But is it something? Was it a Tobler who invented it? What's a
Tobler?
That's the name of the guy, wasn't it, who invented it, wasn't
That's right. The company's name was Tobler and it was the number one bar that they made.
Toblerone.
Thank you, Mark.
Mark, we better give you a prize for that incredible knowledge.
Mark, you got tickets to the world premiere of Jimmy Barnes' Working Class Boy at the Melbourne International Film Festival. If you're not in Melbourne, we're going to fly you here. It's in cinemas, by the way, August 23, and specially priced double album soundtrack. It stores August 17. Pre-order now.
Excellent work, everyone.
Fantastic.
Well done, Mark.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
Wow.
That's huge. We've all learned something today.
My PhD's coming along. It's going
to be
great.
I'm very proud. You could go on a quiz show. Your new way to drive home.
Malloy. Dave O'Neill in for Mick Malloy, who's out. Crooks will be back tomorrow. Kennedy Malloy.
So he says.
Yeah.
I don't know what.
Who knows? I'm eating his twisties, though.
He'll be very cross with that. It's a very big packet, so there better be some left.
He can get angry too, can't he, Mick?
Yeah, no, he can.
Fires up.
He can fire up.
I'm more placid than that, aren't I?
Yeah. You're way more placid.
You've got a laissez-faire attitude, Dave.
We have quite similar backgrounds, though. My dad was in the Air Force. Mick's dad was in the Air Force, and he's from a family of boys. I'm from a family of boys.
Right.
We both grow up in the outer suburbs. Yeah. So, that's about where it stops, though.
Right. You haven't been to Kittens lately, have you?
No.
That's about where it stops.
Yeah.
We're talking about TV. Mm. Hamish and Andy are on tonight.
And the Castle's on again.
Yes. Now,
how many times has that been on, do you reckon? I love The Castle.
Me too.
It's one of my favourite movies.
Oh, well, that's very nice to say.
Straight to the ballroom.
Thank you. Well...
Probably one of the most quotable movies, Tom Gleisner quote at the Logies, actually.
Oh, really?
When he said the Logie.
He said it's going straight to the forum.
That's awesome.
I think it's probably been on Channel 9. It's probably over 10 times, maybe more. But people have said that they do watch it quite, you know.
Always go back to it. If it's on, you'll watch it.
It's a good movie. You know what makes it a good movie? You can quote from it.
Yeah.
What are they asking?
Yeah.
You know? Because we used to sit around the trading post. That dad was very similar to my dad. We used to sit around the trading post and read it out on a Thursday. It always came out on a Thursday.
Yes.
And we would just read out to dad or a mini bike. Oh, yeah, what are they asking? Yeah. So it's very
well, enjoyable. It came from real experiences of our lives. But we're talking about films that you love watching. And what other films that you keep going back to time and time again because you love them.
And films you can watch with your kids too is good as well.
That is good. Yeah. But sometimes there's films, like I've been trying to think of some films. So I've got Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Yeah.
But every time it comes on the telly, it's a bit like The Castle, it comes on quite a lot.
I love you, Grant.
And I'll just watch one scene and then I keep watching it.
It's a great movie.
And I did it the other night. Have you got any Four Weddings?
Yeah, this is the
movie. This is only the second time I've ever been a best man. I hope I did the job all right that time. The couple in question are at least still talking to me. Unfortunately, they're not actually talking to each other. The divorce came through a couple of months ago. But I'm assured it had absolutely nothing to do with me. Apparently, Paula knew that Piers had slept with her younger sister before I mentioned it in the speech.
That is that Richard Curtis, such witty...
An Australian.
But I love... Right, yes, I loved Hugh Grant. That's when I was in my big Hugh Grant.
Don't you love the fact that he had no kids till about the age of 50? He had four in quick succession.
Right, really?
Yeah, with different women?
Well, I'll tell you another film I loved.
Yeah.
The Nugget.
Oh, yeah. Was I in that? The Nugget. I think I was.
I think we've got a little bit.
Have a listen.
Where's the car, guys?
We go and leave a multi-million-dollar gold nugget in the back of a ute. We should have made it easier for him and left the keys in the ignition.
I think I did, didn't I?
Me and Stephen Curry.
Nice one, yeah.
That's great. You know what? I love the Blues Brothers.
Oh, that is a great movie brilliant.
To watch with, apart from the swearing, it's a great movie to watch with the kids.
But do your kids like it? I've tried to get mine into it and they just, I don't know what they think.
Well, the boys love the car crashes.
It's my least entertaining part of the whole film.
I love that too. The car chases.
The singing and the dancing though also.
I love the singing and the dancing.
Love it.
Have we got any Blues Brothers?
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Yeah. So I used to say that to my girlfriends when we were in my little car and we're in the laser.
Yeah.
I still say when I go to a big Westfield shopping centre, this place has got everything. This place has got everything.
I'm on a mission from God.
We want to know what is a film that you keep going back to time and time again. 1-333-53, give us a call.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Dave O'Neill in for Mick. Hey, you were talking about The Castle before, which is on tonight on Channel 9, by the way.
Yes.
I heard on the grapevine that Sam Pang, friend of the show and part of Have You Been Paying Attention, has never seen The Castle.
Oh, well, that's
Jane?
A disgrace.
I can't believe that. He's on Have You Been Paying Attention
That'd
every
be
week.
Right.
What Australian has never seen The Castle?
Well, is he Australian?
Is it a cultural thing?
Maybe it is.
That's what I'm pointing at. Don't worry, we'll stick it up in.
He lives near me and I have lunch with him occasionally. Last time he turned up for lunch, he always wants to meet at a cafe. I said, I'm not going to a cafe, mate. We'll go to a chicken shop, all right?
What do you mean a chicken shop?
We get a chicken shop with a seat and you can eat some chicken.
Where smells of hot chicken's cooking.
It's the best.
Dave, no one wants to meet you in a flipping chicken
He turned up
shop.
With like a man bag, like a little pencil case with his phone and keys. I'm like,
really?
Can't bring that to the chicken shop, mate.
This is great. I hope he's listening. That's fantastic. Hey, we're asking what films you have seen over and over and you love them. We've got Troy on the line. How are you, Troy?
G'day. How you going,
really
team?
Really good. What is a film that you love?
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh, fantastic. Snap.
Fantastic.
Bueller. That's my ringtone.
Bueller.
That is my... I say that when it's dinner time. Bueller. And I and still, then, to the kids, I say Bueller. And no one's called Bueller. Yeah, go on.
And then closely followed by Life of Brian.
Oh, God. What's your favourite line?
He's not a messiah. He's a very naughty boy.
I saw that on a scout excursion where we convinced the leader was a film about the Bible.
Oh, really? Yeah. So you could watch it? Thanks, Troy, for bringing us those. That
was great.
In a
uniform sitting there watching it.
Hey, Daniel.
How's it going, guys?
Really good. What is a film you keep going back to?
Oh, I don't even have to go back to it because I reckon it's on TV 3 to 4 times a year.
Yeah, what is it?
And that'd be Predator.
Oh, good movie.
Yeah.
It's a very boys movie.
It's a boys movie.
It is, but I reckon on a Friday and Saturday night, at least every 4 months it's on.
Yeah.
And you get stuck watching it. I couldn't even tell you it'd be my favourite movie, but you just get stuck watching it.
It's like Alien.
Every time.
Yeah.
And you just hang in there and watch it.
Yeah, you just watch it.
Oh, good on you, Daniel. Thanks for that. Renee.
Yeah, how you going, guys?
Really good. What is your well, not your favourite, but a film that you keep watching and you've seen a lot of times?
It would be Forrest Gump.
Oh.
And what Life is Like a...
I've never seen Forrest Gump.
Are you kidding?
What?
Never seen it.
Oh, my God. Strap yourself in. It's very long.
You can go to Renee's house.
Yeah.
Go watch it with Renee.
Spoiler alert. Hey, don't tell me what happened.
Don't worry. It's too long. There's too many scenes to talk about in that film.
It's a marathon.
Jason, what film have you seen?
Takeaway, mate.
Oh, Dave, isn't that another one of your movies?
Yeah, I wrote that with Mark O'Toole, mate. I was a butcher in it.
Yep.
Didn't go that well when it came out, but good on you.
Oh, Jace, how many times do you reckon you've seen it?
Oh, mate, well over 100.
Jeez, what?
Do you remember any lines from it, or?
I do, but when Vince Cosmo says, I haven't seen any assistant managers around, have you, Dave? Or a couple of dead wives or something?
I can't remember that.
You can't remember the script?
I can't remember any of it.
Oh, you're a
I remember his dim sim on a stick. That's what.
Yeah.
People occasionally put on Facebook, dim sim on a stick.
And Cracker Jack, mate, them two movies.
Great movie.
Well, I'm glad we mentioned Cracker Jack in Mick's absence.
Passed away. So.
No, he's still with us.
He's got
also,
a bowler.
On that same chopper.
Oh, chopper. Yeah, chopper.
I saw it on TV the other night. Cash, there's no cash here.
Yeah, quotable.
That is quotable. A great movie.
Love it. Michael.
I had to suffer through the old Grease lightning with my sisters. So it's not one that I like or I love. It sucks. And having two elder sisters.
Oh, Michael. You might have to let it go, mate.
I have to
let it go.
What about Sandy? Which version of Sandy did you like? Did you like the sweet, innocent
one?
I didn't like any of them.
Not even hot Sandy. There you go.
Oh. Going to crash his car.
I think it was on last week, actually.
It was.
Probably.
Andrew's got a weird one.
Andrew, what is a film that you keep going back to and watch over again?
Sadly, it's Romper Stomper. I just love the Aussie. You know, a little
great,
bit of
great movie, though. Great movie.
Oh, shit, yeah. Russell Crowe. Well, growing up in the era of skinheads and Sharpies, it's got it all. And working in Footscray during the 80s, it brings back memories. But
that's where they filmed it. They filmed Romper Stomper.
But not exactly happy memories, Andrew, just saying.
Well, the best thing is that... my kids really think I'm crazy when I make them watch it. You know, it's great.
Yeah, fair enough.
Remember when the skinhead joins the Navy? That's Stephen Hall, who's now in Mad as Hell.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, thank you, Andrew. We'll go to Rob. And this is, I think, a very popular one, particularly for a lot of my friends who are in the world of comedy.
Yeah.
They name this one on their list.
What is it, Rob?
What is it?
Guys, you can't go past it. The Adam Sandler classic, Caddyshack.
Yes.
Rodney Dangerfield coming in with the, geez, that's the worst hat I ever saw. Why do you get a hat like that? You get a free bowl of soup? It looks good on you, though.
What's the matter? You step on a duck? Someone step on a duck? That was the first time I'd ever seen Rodney Dangerfield.
That's funny. Rob, so do you sit around with your mates and you quote it and you have sinks and beers and watch old Caddyshack?
All the time. It comes out every day, every day.
I love that.
Great movie.
Good on you guys. Thank you, everyone, for calling in.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy.
Mick's out today. Back tomorrow. We've got the great Dave O'Neill in studio with us right now.
Last night, I was shocked because...
This is shocking.
I was watching Survivor, which is on Channel 10 at the moment, and they've got the champions versus, like, the normal people.
Contenders
who are pretty good. You know, if you go on Survivor...
You've got to be fit.
You've got to be pretty
I don't think I could rock up.
No, I don't think you could. Mind you, I don't think I could. Well, I definitely know I couldn't. Anyway, we're watching last night. One of the most, actually, I've met this guy. We're about to talk to him. He's one of the most incredible young men I've ever met. Damien Tomlinson. He's an ex-commando. He's a veteran of the war in Afghanistan. And in 2009, his unit drove over an improvised bomb in southern Afghanistan and both his legs blown.
Yeah, amputated.
And amputated. So he's one of the most positive, great people I've come across. Let's just hear what happened last night.
Third person voted out from Australian Survivor champions versus contenders, Damien. Damien, the tribe has spoken.
Damien Tomlinson, how are you? And were you in as much shock as we were?
Yes. I mean, like, I don't really know. It was pretty film, but when, like, watching, I think the way that it unfolded was proper shocking. Yeah.
It was proper shocking.
Some of the things that I think I've said around it were a bit,
We're going to play a little bit of that bit later, but you proved yourself in the very first episode. Didn't you win a challenge for your team?
So I thought I'd done enough to prove myself. I thought I'd done enough to keep myself safe. Obviously, it's not quite the case on the on Cutthroat Island.
Very harsh.
Damon, I honestly, everyone is in shock. But and I know it must have been amazing to sit back and watch it. But
who did this? Who got rid of him?
I don't mean to point fingers, but...
We could all easily point one at someone.
We can, but I think we got a few of the chicks having a bit of a conversation. Are you up for hearing this again, Damien?
Yeah, no, fire away. What do you have to say?
All right, let's have a listen.
I'm going to turn the heat on Damien.
We want to win challenges.
I don't want to see Damo's name written down.
Yes, he's got two prosthetics, but you've got to remember the reason why he's got two prosthetics. The poor bloke was blown up in Afghanistan.
I have ultimate respect for him. Then he's just unbelievable and just bigger balls than any of us. But we don't know what we're going to get in these challenges, and Damo is a liability.
Damien definitely hasn't held us back out here. You know, he puts his body on the line, he gets in there just like anybody else.
We have to really think hard about what our skill sets are individually, future-proofing this team so that we can win challenges.
So it seems like the chicks have colluded against you, Damien.
I mean, yeah, it was a little bit of that. I sort of, when I saw it happening on the screen, you could see, it's a little bit different when you can't see absolutely everyone talking on the island. But yeah, when I saw it, I was just shocked that Lydia went in that direction. But also I was kind of like, guys, look at this scoreboard. I mean, I've either drawn or won any challenge that I've done. Like,
correct.
If you're future-proofing the team, I'd be looking at someone who's lost a couple on the trot.
Mm. Correct.
And that's one. And ironically enough, that was the first person who threw me under the bus. So I was kind of just in shock, just going, wow. I mean, it was shocking, that attitude coming from Lydia, especially though.
Look, when you are competitive as Lydia is and has won, you know, Olympic champion, and people are pretty cutthroat, and I'm just amazed at, it's a game ultimately, but the competitiveness there is crazy.
Yeah, it's ludicrous. I mean, I still, in speed and strategy wise, I still wrap my head around whether it's the same type of call that I would have made.
You had great support from the blokes.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, that was the sort of thing. I should as well, that Brian and Jen were on the same page. That's when we had it like a sort of group plan when we were going into the tribal council, and Brian Lake flipped.
Well, I think
Brian Lake.
Brian Lake.
Well, you know what happened to him? He ended up in a jail in Japan.
He did indeed. I think what happens is, you know, people really play this game, don't they? And
The shame got to him. I think he did. Oh, okay,
Damien, there is good news that you did tweet today. Put on Instagram. Can you share the news with us?
Yeah, it's great. Me and my girlfriend are expecting a child. So.
Well, there you go.
Well done. Much more important.
That is. That's awesome.
Coming out, this is silver lining, which is just absolutely brilliant. You know, it's been priceless.
Well, that's the silver lining. Damien, thank you for talking to us. I wish you were still in there. Of course, you're a great ambassador for Soldier On. That's where I've met you through your amazing work there. And we wish you all the best with your new baby and everything that goes ahead. And remember that Australia, I think they thought you were just too much of a threat.
Yeah, a threat.
That's basically what it was.
Yeah.
I think that's what I'd like to think about it. I mean, I still would have had me as a fifth round draft pick.
Yeah, exactly.
For the merch, you know, I only really become dangerous when it's a one-on-one competition, because I think the challenges will level out to become one-on-one challenges.
I agree.
So a lot of it will be, I could see me as a threat then, so I kind of expected it, but in a couple of rounds.
Damien,
two or three more rounds.
You're a former commando, never forget, mate, and just one day surprise them at night. Just turn up.
When they least expect it.
Just turn up.
Good on you, Damien. Thanks for talking us today.
All right.
Australian Survivor, by the way, tonight, 7:30 on Channel 10, the champions versus the contenders.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Kennedy Malloy.
Dave O'Neill is with us because Mick's a little sooky-lala.
No, he's
sick. He'll be back tomorrow. He has genuinely got the man flu.
He really sounds terrible.
Yeah.
And I don't know. If he comes tomorrow, he better not give me what he's got.
Yeah, let's hope it's just like a...
Sorry.
What that?
That's my phone.
What are you talking about?
I've got a new phone. Hang on, I'll turn it off. I'll just...
It's a Nokia. How big is it? It's a real Nokia.
It's a Nokia because my iPhone broke.
Dave, that's unbelievable.
So it's a 310. It's a remake, I think. And this was $30.
$30?
And the girl sold it. So the only people who buy these are drug dealers. Why are you buying one of them for?
Because you can smash.
Has it got snake on it?
It's got snake on it.
Oh, yes.
But snake has been reconfigured.
Where do you buy that? Just from a supermarket?
From a phone shop. From a kiosk more than a shop.
Yeah.
$30.
$30. And so you put your SIM card in and still get calls, but it's got none of the contacts. So honestly, people ring me. I don't know who it is.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
I thought I was ringing one of my mates, Des, the other day to tell him about a horror gig. I started talking, telling the story, and then this happened, this guy threw stuff. And then there's just a pause, and the guy goes, Oh, yeah. Anyway, can I help you with something? There's some guy that I didn't even know. Then the other day it rang 911.
Oh,
which goes straight to 000. So I'm driving along and I hear this guy say, ambulance, police, or fire.
What is your emergency? My emergency is I've got a stupid
Nokia.
We'll be back soon. Stand by for Malcolm Turnbull.
That's coming up. Kennedy Malloy.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
You bet it is. The big second hour coming up, and we've got Lawrence Mooney on standby.
Awesome.
He's arrived in the studio. I can see him.
Funny guy.
How do you embarrass your kids? I apparently do it 24/7.
I do it.
Guilty.
Yes. We've got lots more to chat about too. We're standing by because we have someone very special in the studio.
You have the Prime Minister on a regular basis, are you not?
We're very lucky to have the
Privileged,
Prime Minister.
I think the word you'd use.
And I think we're ready to introduce him now.
Prime Minister, welcome to Kennedy.
Well, thank you very much. Dangerous. Hello, Jane Kennedy. Always a pleasure seeing you.
Thank you.
Resplendent,
really?
Fresh-faced, and you, Dave O'Neill. I've been a long-term fan.
Really?
I've seen you on the ABC a lot. I've tried to shut down that communist mouthpiece. I remember you on that show with Hilsey, weren't you?
Speaks and Specs, yeah.
Yes, in Gordon Street Tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Lucy and I liked that, even though it was on the ABC.
Save our ABC. I'll just get that in there. I'm sorry to just disturb you there.
Auntie.
Yes.
Oh, yes. They'll be running ads in no time at all.
That would be terrible.
Tony Jones will end up living in Wyala in a cave doing Q&A via
really?
Crystal set.
You don't go on Q&A much, do you?
No, do you remember when I used to go in my leather jacket and look quite sexy?
Oh, that's from when you were like in your casual.
You were cool.
Casual.
No, I was in my, it was my ascending star, my waxing moon. That's what it was. I was hunting Tony down, so yes. I was loose.
But now you're there and you've got the gig, so you don't bother
going on
again. I've got
the gig and I love
the
gig. I really love the gig. I love the power. I love the privilege. I love crushing the poor. I love it all.
Turnbull, I don't mean to alarm you, but are you aware there are impersonators out there impersonating you?
I do. I am aware of that, Jane, because, of course, people like the cut of my jib, my stride, my sartorial splendour, and, of course, my diction. The way I
very good
enunciate my vocabulary and the way that I put a sentence together. Wonderful syntax. Yeah. And so, of course, people are going to be in awe of me and impersonate me.
Well, yesterday on the grill team on Sydney Triple M, they spoke to an impersonator and have a listen. They asked them this.
Have you ever heard of a man called Lawrence Mooney?
Oh, yes, I have. He's the impersonator. I've not met him. Yeah.
What do you think?
I'm a hard one to judge. I don't think it's a great impersonation, but obviously others do. Otherwise, he wouldn't get a gig anywhere.
Well, that is...
Oh, my goodness.
That is clearly an impersonator. That is the Moon Man pretending to be me, answering questions
Good
about himself.
Good Lord, he sounds so fake.
That was hopeless, wasn't it?
That was terrible.
I mean, that sounds nothing like me.
Well, the impersonator couldn't even pronounce Point Piper correctly.
Could you say Point Piper for us, just to be how he does it?
Point Piper is how I would say it.
Well, that just sounds like a bogan from the outer suburbs.
He's got no idea. How do you say it correctly?
Well, I don't do the whole Point Piper. I say up the Piper. That's where I live. Me and Luce are right up the Piper. And you want to get in there.
That's really incredible to hear this impersonator. It's blowing my mind, actually.
Well, it's like he said about himself, it is quite a weak impersonation.
It's getting closer the more I hear it.
I know.
You claim you didn't even drink Sangiovese.
Do you drink Sangiovese, Prime Minister?
No, I don't.
Well, of course I do. That's all I drink is Italian red.
Of course.
He's a liar
and
as well.
And a Barolo.
A Nebbiolo Barolo. Exactly, Jane Kennedy.
And finally, he couldn't even pronounce kayak correctly.
I kayak almost always kayak by myself, actually. Lucy and I have a double which we go out on, but generally only on calm, fair days in summer. I paddle all year round in winter and summer.
Well, if there's one word that I know how to pronounce correctly because I am me, it's car. Now,
it's a double car.
What about the double? Do you really have a double?
Well, of course I do. Me and Lucy have a lot of doubles.
But
we have a double bed, we have a double bark, we've got...
Have you got a triple? What about a triple?
A triple kayak. Well, sometimes Daisy and Alex come around.
When do you have time to go out in your double kayak?
Well,
fascinated.
If I'm not on the rowing machine most mornings, on Sunday I get out on the harbour. And I've got to tell the impersonator, Moon Man, I'm coming for you, okay? I've heard that he's a bit of a drunkard and a loose unit, and my people will be looking out for
him. You're not happy with him, are you?
Well, no, I'm not.
I understand.
He's doing
that.
a whole series of shows in Wollongong and Canberra and Brisbane.
I'll have ASIO there photographing him.
You know, it's
He'll disappear.
He'll say it's the greatest form of flattery. That's what they say.
That's exactly what it is, the greatest form of flattery. I think he's terrific. Now, so keep going.
Lawrence Mooney's not too far away. By the way, an evening with Malcolm Turnbull touring around Australia, alist.com.au to get tickets.
This is Kennedy Malloy, your new way to drive home.
Dave O'Neill is in, as is a friend of our show, the great Lawrence Mooney on Kennedy Malloy.
G'day, Lawrence.
G'day, guys. I'm going to start off by saying it's been a great day for me. My Sigma Cort ran out a couple of days ago, and the rash under my armpit just flared up. But I've got some new Sigma Cort now.
Really? We don't need to hear that. I'm going Sigma Cort. Is
I've
that
got
like
some
a,
at home?
Is that a cream?
Yes, it is a cream.
The word cream even
cream
freaks
is creepy.
Me out.
That's what age I am now.
Is that
I've
cream?
Got to have a
is
cream
you need
for
a prescription?
My armpit.
Is a cream? You need a prescription.
Well, no, you can buy the weak one over the counter, or get the powerful one on prescription.
So you can tell stories like this because we're all old mates.
Yeah,
we go back, and you and Dave go back.
We go back. Well, I went to the high school down the road from Mooney's Catholic school, and I met Lawrence at a party in
93. I was just starting drama school, and we had a mutual friend,
Felicity. Yes,
Did you both have girlfriends?
I've still got the same partner. Yeah, Lawrence.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There's a bit of chopping and changing at drama school.
You didn't chop and change with Dave's partner.
I chopped and changed through the whole
school. Can't even imagine what you did, to be honest.
A trail of destruction.
I cannot even picture it. But go back
all
to
all
the...
I'll put it this way. I just wanted to be cast.
Sure. And would do anything.
But I owe Lawrence an apology because he rang me on Thursday and said, can you do a gig for me tomorrow? And I was a bit stressed. I was at my brother's Jewish school. My brother works as a tech at a Jewish school.
Dave, I can't imagine you getting stressed.
No. Yeah, but you rang me and I was about to go on to perform for children, which I'd never perform for kids.
Oh, that's
I've got
tough.
Kids at home. I don't want to.
Yeah.
But the gig was great.
You don't need to apologise to me because I had double booked myself and in a panic, Bruce, who'd organised the gig, said, I hope you're okay for tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
At Glen Waverley.
Yes.
And I was in Adelaide. It's like,
So you needed someone toot sweet.
Yeah, I needed someone.
Someone reliable, too.
So I knew.
And what happened?
I rang someone I knew would be available.
And reliable.
And reliable.
Reliable so and a good act.
I'm about to go on at this school. And I'm like, yeah, no worries. I'll do it. Just text me the details. Right. Friday comes and goes. And then on Saturday, I drive out to this footy club. There's one guy sitting at the bar.
No.
And I go, where's the gig? What's in the guy goes, gig? There's no gig here, mate. And then I ring this guy and he's like,
Bruce,
the gig was yesterday.
Oh,
Dave. Oh, no. Reliable. Reliable Dave,
though. Do you think they would have pulled someone out and they go, who's a funny bastard? Let's put them up.
They had a few footy players talking that were dads.
Oh, no.
They had an umpire who was a dad, a famous umpire.
Who did act.
Yes.
They had a set.
He said to me, look, we only had 50 blokes turn up and I kept looking at the back of the room waiting for you to walk in. You didn't walk in. It got to 4 o'clock. I went, well, we've saved the club some money. Oh. End of function.
Oh. That's hilarious. When you're,
so I'm sorry, Moody, I'm not reliable.
When the upside of your act is, we've saved the club some money. You should put that on your poster.
Do you know what I like, though? That they were cruisy about it because...
They didn't care.
You know when people get super angry and it's a little bit out of control?
Yeah.
You're in the wrong, by the way.
Yeah.
I know. It's terrible. It's the worst thing when you're not where you're meant to be and the phone rings and it's like, are you turning up? It's
You're in a different state.
What do you... No.
But Bruce said, don't worry, mate. They all just thought Mooney cancelled, so don't worry about it. They were just putting
What relief.
What relief.
Oh, my
I don't think my
God.
Name was even mentioned at the day.
That's right.
So I'm not reliable.
Look,
g'day to the Glen Waverley Hawks. Good
on you
guys.
There you go. Can you stick around because you were talking about dogs.
Well, we've been talking about dogs a bit, haven't we?
And
The weird things that they do. One of my on-air partners in Brisbane, I do bring Brisbane.
Yes, of course.
Hot breakfast, as you know.
On the Triple M network.
On the Triple M network. Robin Bailey, her dog has been doing something very strange.
Oh, okay.
Mm.
Well, can we hear about that? Because I've got a story too.
All right, after this.
Your new way to drive home.
Kennedy Malloy. Dave O'Neill in for Mick, who's he's crook. He's taken ill, but we think tomorrow he might be back. So stand by.
Well, I don't
for
want
that.
Him to bring his germs
well,
in.
Well, we
kind
of don't, do we?
Sure
we're happy for him to stay
if
away.
You're crook, and stay away from work.
Yeah.
Everyone should.
Get a bubble for him, like the boy in the bubble. Just have a bubble
here. In fact, I think he suggested that.
Not a bad idea.
Maybe he could be in another studio. Why don't we do that?
We can do that. We can do that.
We'll put him in another studio and
isolation.
We'll work from here.
To everyone isolation. In every workplace, use hand sanitizer. Mm.
Some people tell me that you shouldn't do that because then you can't build up your immunities.
Yeah, that's where you can't build up your immunity to the common cold. You just can't because it changes shape every time. And the most common way to get it is through your soft mucous membranes, which your eye and touching.
Sorry, I'm looking at you and you're just feeling like a really serious. Yeah.
Are you a doctor?
No, I'm a germaphobe. So, if you touch your nose, scratch your nose or scratch your eyes, bang. Oh. You're probably more likely to get it through that than someone sneezing on you.
Okay. Can you have a look at my hemorrhoids now?
Doctor, I tell you what,
you don't want to catch a cold that way, mate.
Loz, what were you talking about? Your dog.
Well, Robin Bailey, I'm on the big breakfast.
That's your show.
Yep.
So she should know the name of it. Robin, yep. She's just got engaged.
Absolutely. Congratulations to Robin. Marta Robin and the Moon Man on Brisbane Breakfast. And she has got a big dog, a Doberman Hunterway.
They're
cross.
Big. Yeah.
Big dog. Big, beautiful dog, but he's a bit lonely because he's been stealing toy pandas from around the house.
Oh.
There's two toy pandas in the house and taking them to his bed, not doing anything
lovely.
With them, just cuddling them.
Oh, my God.
And so we got a vet on saying, you know, what is wrong?
What is, yeah.
And it's like he's lonely. He wants a mate.
He's lonely because he's left in the house by himself?
Well, yeah. He can't
do that to dogs.
Well, I know. Most people do.
I know, but that's when dogs go rogue and that's when, I mean, I'm a vet.
Your dog doesn't seem to be here with you.
No, because there are people in the house with her.
Is there people in the house constantly with the
dog? Yeah, I have to be. My dog is a Leonberger and they have to be around people or they go nuts.
A Leonberger?
Oh. Leonberger from Leonberg.
I think I've eaten one of them.
That's a big dog. I've seen a photo of that dog.
They're massive.
Yeah, that dog was sitting on you and like you look like a tiny Coles.
Yeah, I should have that dog
Jane
around
Kennedy.
Me all the time. Like a man bag.
Very petite, that Jane Kennedy.
Yeah, she's so
does
tiny.
This dog make my bum look tiny?
Terrific. Wait, we were teaching the dog something today in the house.
Because you've moved.
We've moved into a house and we had a very big doggy door for this big, she's 50 kilos. We're the biggest doggy door that
criminals
they ever,
come through the doggy
no,
door?
No, well, a criminal's going to come in face to face with a big dog, right?
Okay.
That's my theory.
That's a good point.
So we've moved into a house where they must have had like a sausage dog. And it's a little doggy door.
Oh.
And we're trying to entice her to use it. And she backed up and wouldn't do it. So the only way you can teach her is try and do it yourself.
Oh, no.
Right.
Well, some grown-up in the house who lives with me tried to do that and said, well,
your husband,
it's
Rob.
A bit squeezy. I said, she's baby. She can do this. So I got some spaghetti bolognese sauce that I'd made from the night before to entice her. And she squeezed through. Right. So it is possible if we leave her by herself, she can do it.
I thought you were going to say you went through the doggy door.
Oh, I was not going to do that.
If you get stuck in that, it does
people have got stuck in the past. That's where your bum does look big.
Yeah, going to fire again.
The past.
It literally becomes a doggy
door. Have people got dogs that do weird things?
That's what we're asking. 1-3-3-5-3. We want to know what weird things your dogs do. What
crazy habits or things that...
A guy I know said that his dog, if he leaves his undies on the floor, the dog will munch the crutch.
Yeah. I don't think that's uncommon.
Really?
Vet Kennedy's crutch. Just giving
crutch
you
munching dogs.
Yeah, I think that's a
really?
Thing. It's a thing.
They really do love that, don't they?
They do. Anyway.
They love anything salty and savoury.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be what they
three.
Eat. Anything weird your dog
Let's
does.
Let's get some calls,
please. 1-3-3-5-3. Give us a ring now, and we're looking for weirdest thing your dog does.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Dave O'Neill's here for Mick. We've got Lawrence Mooney as well. And we're taking your calls on 1-3-3-5-3. Weird things your dog does.
Robin Bailey's dog has been stealing a toy panda just to cuddle it, no humpage.
That's so sweet.
And our resident vet on the Big Breakfast has said that he needs a partner.
Oh. Steve, do you have a dog that does something unusual?
Hi, guys. I've got three dogs.
Mm. Yes.
And two of our dogs, they steal socks.
Yes.
They all they do is cuddle them, and they'll hide them under their heads so you can't see them.
Oh. That's funny.
That is cute.
They'll pretend to be asleep, yeah. so you can't grab them or anything.
Steve, where do they steal them from?
They don't care. Dirty washing, clean washing. Mm. We have to like shut doors so they can't get to them.
The sock stealers.
They will hunt them down.
They want to be so close to you that they're busy picking item of clothes with the strongest odour.
Correct. Your stinky feet. Good
your
on you, Steve.
Stinky feet, Steve.
Thank you for that. Hey, Adam.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thanks. Tell us about your dog.
Yeah, I've got a whippet and you just can't leave buckets sitting on the ground because she just tries to tip them over.
Tips over the buckets.
Bucket tipper.
Yeah, she just tips over buckets.
What is that to do with the breed of being a whippet? What goes back in their heritage that makes them tip it
curious,
over?
Curious. They want to see what's inside.
I have absolutely no idea.
That is bizarre.
Full, empty, they just tip the bucket over.
She hasn't managed to tip over a full bucket yet, but she's tipped over empty ones lots of times. And every time she does, she just fucking falls over and she just walks away.
Adam, why do you have lots of buckets?
Yeah,
it's only like two buckets.
You got lots of leaks in your house?
No. I have one bucket in my
Dave
house.
Dave O'Neill, if you had a whippet, what would you call it?
I call it Devo.
Of course you would, yes.
Whip it good.
Hey, Bill, how are you going?
Good, guys. Yourself?
Really good. What breed of dog do you have for a start?
Having a little giggle at your big dog. We've got Great Danes.
Oh.
How many?
Beautiful.
Two.
Really?
Slobberers?
Yep.
Are they slobbery?
Are they slobberers?
No, no. The girl is a little bit, but the boy, he's fine.
Typical.
How much do they weigh, Bill?
The girl's only small at 55 kilos.
Yeah. Our
boy Max, it's 75.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
And what weird things do they do, Bill?
Well, Belle, for instance, if she ever gets into trouble, the first thing she does is go bounding down the hallway to where my wife's got all of her collectible teddies, decides to grab one of them and come out.
Not lingerie.
No.
You mean like Beanie Bears or...
proper collectible bears from the America and all those places. And she comes out as proud as punch. And goes, look at me.
That's funny.
Of course, we're giggling our head off because she knows she's in trouble. And
they know.
But, I mean, the boy himself, I mean, people are amazed when they come around home and he's actually sitting on the lounge.
Yeah, a human.
Feet on the floor, but sitting on the lounge.
That's funny.
That's a great look. Thanks, Bill, for sharing that.
It's collectible bears.
Yeah.
Intriguing. Probably lives in a flat.
A lot about the, with
my friend Denise Drysdale, who I worked with for a couple of years, she had a full-on big room dedicated to teddy bears. Massive teddy bear collection.
People do collect unusual things for themselves. Andrew?
Yeah, g'day. How you going?
Really good. What does your dog do?
We've got two brothers from the same litter. They're Border Collie Labrador cross.
Oh, gorgeous.
But one of them just goes crazy for David Attenborough.
When it comes on the telly?
Yeah, it jumps up on the TV cabinet, and when the lions are chasing the deers, he tries to eat the deers.
What?
Really?
That is awesome.
And then he looks behind the telly to see where the deer's gone, hoping to get a bit more meat.
Oh, that's hilarious, Andrew. We're going to give you a prize for that.
What you've got, Andrew, is tickets to the world premiere of Jimmy Barnes' Working Class Boy at the Melbourne International Film Festival, plus a signed copy of the soundtrack. By the way, it hits cinemas August 23 and specially priced double album soundtrack hits stores August 17. Pre-order now. If you don't live in Melbourne, we're going to fly you into that premiere. Well done, mate.
Oh, thanks, man. That's awesome.
Good on you, Andrew. We love dog lovers. We got one more call to wrap it up. Let's hear from Vanessa.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Vanessa.
Okay, so my nana had this dog called Smutty, and he was smutty. So he used to only steal my knickers out of the dirty laundry basket, chew the crutch out of them, and then discard them around the neighbourhood.
You sure Lawrence Mooney wasn't your neighbour?
Well, I think things would have been a lot funnier if he was. It was so embarrassing. I was only 13.
Smudgy.
Jeez. I just don't want to hear no more.
And just quickly, Nana also, he was a fox terrier, fully, intact.
They're a good
sniffer
dog.
So when we went to the beach, Nana used to have to put zinc cream on his testicles to stop him getting sunburned.
Okay. Well, you're giving him mixed messages, aren't you? Rubbing in zinc on his balls and telling him not to eat your undies.
I refused to put the zinc on. It was Nana.
Nana. That's not a job for a girl.
No, it's not.
God bless my Nana.
Yeah, God bless her. Smudgy.
God love her.
Thank
Vanessa,
you, everyone.
You get yourself you get yourself a $100 Liquorland voucher.
You do.
Oh, that sounds amazing. Thank you.
Down your alley. Good for you. And we might thank Lawrence Mooney for being in with us too.
Oh, what a joy.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Great to have Dave O'Neill in studio. One of our favourites here on the show, by the way.
Favourite for you guys, but not my kids. They say I'm embarrassing. So,
really?
No.
Well, I like to do accents around the house where I feel I'm in a safe place. And they're often from ads from the 80s or the 90s. Mm-hmm. So when they've got all their Lego on the floor and stuff, I walk in and go, "Oh, Mr. Hard, you'll make a mess."
I remember that.
He's from Pro Hard from a rug ad.
He did that, he put all the paint on the rug.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember that.
And when I give him porridge, I go, "That's not how you make porridge." They're like, "You're a racist, Dan. You can't do those accents."
They're so conscious of that stuff. When I'm in a takeaway food or when I order food to maybe a Chinese food, I go, spring roll and...
special fried rice.
Special fried rice. And they go, "Oh my God, make her stop. Tell her shut up.
You're racist. You're
racist,
racist."
But I'm not. But I do things to embarrass my kids on purpose.
What do you do?
Well, I used to do this when I'd have them all in the car and I'd wait till I was driving down, you know, when you have to go about 40 or 30 kilometres an hour.
Really slow.
Really slow down a popular street. Mm. And I'd put all the windows down and I'd put on lock so they couldn't control the windows.
Oh,
and
what?
I would put this song on. And they'd go, "Oh my God, Tuba, what are you doing?" And they'd have to try, they'd all put their heads down.
When we see someone we know, Mum.
Stop it!
Oh my God, there's Amber. Oh my God. There's Madison. There's Harrison.
There's awesome. Nothing more enjoyable. And I guess that's what I looked forward to most in becoming a parent
fun.
Is embarrassing.
Embarrassing your kids. Singing, they hate singing.
Yeah. They hate you dancing. That's even worse.
Bad.
Can't go to shopping centres with my kids.
No.
Might see someone.
Don't talk to their friends when they come over because that's really embarrassing.
That's embarrassing.
Too. I'm sure there's other things that you like doing. Give us a call on 133353. How do you embarrass your kids?
I love this.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy.
How do you embarrass your kids?
You're embarrassing, Dave. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Stop talking on the radio.
I get lots of eye rolls in my car.
Oh, do you?
Oh, yeah, from my daughter.
Oh.
Very embarrassing. I said, "I'm cool. I'm not embarrassing."
You are cool, dangerous.
Thank you.
She's got to know that.
First name's Dangerous.
Exactly.
Look at me. It's not Loser Dave. It's Dangerous Dave, kids. Remember that.
Donna, how do you embarrass your kids?
I dropped my daughter off at high school and as I did the sharp turn to go to the kids and drop, I mounted the curb and as I came down off the curb with a thud, my arm accidentally pivoted the horn as well.
Love it.
Oh, the double whammy.
That's so good. My car stalled in that drop-off area.
Stalled. Oh, no.
Dad, quick, you got to move.
That's excruciating. Thanks, Donna. Jeff.
G'day, guys.
G'day. How do you beautifully embarrass your kids?
I've got quite a few kids. When I used to pick them up from school, I'm a butcher by trade.
Yeah.
I had a car that had a horn that went moo. I used to pick them up from school and hit the horn and, what a popular father.
Did they not jump in the car because they didn't want to recognise you as their father?
Oh, they had no choice.
It was
PA system on it, and if they didn't get in the car, they were called out.
Do you want your sausages tonight, kids? Get in the car.
Great.
Oh, what about Carrie?
Hello, Carrie.
Good morning or afternoon.
Oh, yes.
It's the end of the day, isn't it?
It is the end of the day. I know. It's tiring for everyone. We're still with us.
I was doing the washing, as a mum does, took it into my son's bedroom and caught him watching X-rated adult movies.
Oh. What did you say?
I said, so that's where all the bandwidth has been going. I walked out of the bedroom, grabbed a bunch of similar style DVDs, handed them to him and said, "Can you please use these instead? Because you're not going to use up the internet
the stash.
Okay, so Carrie, here's the thing. You've gone to your own stash, have you?
Yes. Let's not say how I got them, but I do have them.
Oh, I'm fascinated. Are they yours or your husband's?
Oh, no, they're ours.
They share them.
Yours. You watch them together.
there's all sorts of things we do together, but this is about my son, not
good
me.
Lord.
Exactly.
Of course, you're right, and that was very embarrassing for him.
Yeah, and what's worse is I still tell his friends.
No, you've got to stop doing that. There is a limit, I'm sure. Thanks, Carrie,
Jane,
for the call.
Jane, this is something you should introduce in your own home, I think.
I'm not doing
with
anything
with your partner. Look, you all should do a dangerous.
I can't even watch Orange is the New Black with anyone else.
Really?
I love that.
You get a bit embarrassed.
I love that show.
No, because that's a bit...
Yeah, you can't watch it with the kids around.
It's a bit, you know. This is Kennedy Malloy. Dave, thank you so much for filling in as the Mick Malloy.
Yes.
Emergency teacher.
Emergency teacher.
Substitute.
We don't know if we'll see you tomorrow. We don't know if Mick's going to
be
better.
I'll go visit him tonight with some more food.
I don't know what he's... I don't even know if he's eating.
I
think he's that sick. Coming up is Dave, the pilot series on Channel 10.
Yeah, it's on Friday night, the 24th of August. So in a few Fridays, just watch it or watch it on 10 Play.
And then you have to vote for it or something to get it over the line.
It's a sitcom based on my life. You'll love it.
We want to support a couple of friends of ours. They're a little bit experienced in radio.
Struggling
Hamish
team.
Hamish and Andy.
I've heard of them.
True Stories on at 8:40 tonight, featuring someone pretty close to me who lives in the same house as me. In fact, Rob Sitch.
Rob Sitch.
Oh, no kidding.
He's on.
A return. Yes. A return.
He's playing. I can't actually. I won't give too much away. Look out for him.
Mike Moore of Frontline.
Yeah.
Love him.
Big Five in a row.
TV.
That's
five
it.
In a row.
D-gen.
In a row.
D-gen.
That's on at 8:40 tonight. Dave, thank you so much for joining us.
Dangerous.
We've got Celia
Piccola tomorrow coming in.
Very talented, funny person.
Very funny little chick.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, if you missed any of the show today, I've had a ripper. You can get the podcast available at kennedymalloy.com.au.
Have a good night.
See you tomorrow.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Your new way to drive home.